AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Changing an environment should not be so taxing that you feel stretched 24/7. At the end of the day, you cannot force your light into a dark space.
Remember that setback is God's setup for His glory. So that weight that you're feeling is not the weight of the world, it's the weight of your worth.
I don't know what it is, but every time I get on this podcast, I feel the spirit of singing down in my soul. I wish I could explain it. I decided not to sing the song that was on my heart today because it is an old 50 Cent song. But I will say, G-Unit, we in this, you know what I'm saying? Or don't. See, and that's what I'm saying. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I ain't even do the part that I was going to do because I'm being transformed. And only which is profitable shall be on the Woman Evolve podcast. Okay, so how about that? How are you? You know how we do. Take a minute, assess for yourself what's going on in your world. How are you feeling? Your girl is dog tired. Can I tell you that last night I went to bed at 9:30? Which is early for me because I am usually up until about 12. And depending on whether or not I'm taking the girls to school or working out, I could be up as early as 4:30, 6:30, or 8 o'clock. It just depends. 8 o'clock is when my husband took the girls to school and I got to sleep in. 6:30 is when I'm taking the girls to school, but I didn't work out before. 4:30 is when I am working out, taking the girls to school, and then have to work immediately after taking the girls to school, so I don't have time to work out afterwards. So this week has been a mix of it all, but I am so tired. Oh, can I tell y'all? Okay, so listen, this morning I had a 5 a.m. workout, so that's probably why I'm tired. But I almost overslept and I thought to myself as I was getting dressed, like, I wonder, am I stressed? Like, am I stressed? What does it feel like to be stressed? Can I talk to you people who be stressed and don't know it? Hey, how are you? We're stressed and we don't know it. It finally hit me that, like, I am probably stressed. I am working on so many different things. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that I am giving everything I have to launching the Power Moves book. Outside of the things that you may be seeing on social media, I'm doing lots of interview, lots of press, lots of strategizing about how do you condense this message into bite-sized content for press. What can I think about posting that is more than just a flyer, but also points to the book? And also, we're going on tour, and this tour is different than any tour that we've ever done with Woman Evolve, whereas Woman Evolve is like a girls' night worship experience. It feels like a conference. This is not like a worship experience. This is a book tour, but I'm going to preach a little, and I'm going to have conversation partners. So I'm trying to figure out, well, I have figured it out. Don't worry if you've bought your ticket. It's spectacular. So I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want the evening to flow. So I've been putting a lot of thought into that, and we have different conversation partners for each city. So there's certain topics that I want certain people to cover, and so I'm having to do the work of really navigating how I'm going to align subject matter from the book with the conversation, and then seeking the Lord about, like, what do you want me to deposit in these cities, even if it's not Power Moves, like if it is something completely different, like being open to that. And all, it's just a lot, period. So and I have children. Oh Lord. Every day I just be like, thank you, God, that I started early and I see a little light at the end of the tunnel. I know she only ate, Lord, but raising girls is a traumatic experience. Trying to mitigate their trauma, navigating your own suppression and regressions when they're going through things is not for the faint of heart. So yeah, I'm struggling. Okay, so that's me. I'm just the friend that word vomited on you, but I can tell you that the more that I think about Power Moves, the more excited I get about it coming out. I want to share with you something that God laid on my heart, though, this morning after I was stressed. Family stuff, book stuff, marriage stuff is good. So that's always a blessing. Like when the marriage feels strong, because we have some seasons where we're like relearning, regrowing. But even amidst all this stress, we've been able to stay connected. But kid stuff, mostly parenting, has been a little bit of a challenge. And I've had to ask myself, especially with me preparing to share this message that God has given me with Power Moves, like how does what you're experiencing right now relate to this message? Because at the end of the day, the people who are going to be reading this book are going to be going through all different types of things. And something like this is likely going to be one of the things that come up. And what I came away with when praying is, like, at the end of the day, part of the reason why I am struggling and stretched and stressed over the parenting stuff is that I am worried. I think fearful. And I realized that the power of worry and the power of fear was consuming me. It was showing up in my thoughts. I felt walled up and guarded, right? I'm very much so fight, flight, or freeze. I was definitely functioning in freeze. And I just realized that what I am going to have to do, I feel God on this even as I'm saying it, what I am going to have to do in order to confront the worry, the doubt, the stress, the fear of what I'm experiencing on the parenting side is to come into agreement with God. To be worried, to be doubting, to be fearful is to say, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I have the right words. I don't know. But what do I know? And I know that the promises of God are yes and amen. I know that God is not a man that he shall lie. I believe that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so though I have given myself space to feel disappointed, discouraged, all of those things, at the end of the day, I agree with God. And sometimes your spirit has to be settled while your mind is sorting through the emotions. And because my spirit wasn't settled yet, I was letting myself feel, but I didn't have any resolve. And so my resolve is I agree with God concerning my children. I agree with God concerning the gift and the anointing that's on their life. I agree with God. So I don't know what you're up against, but power moves itself is about coming into agreement with God, not being who other people need you to be, not being who you think you should be based off of your experiences or your achievements, but really saying, I agree with God with who I am in this season, and I'm going to release that version of myself into this circumstance, into this environment. And so I want to challenge those of you who may be feeling unsettled in your spirit to come to a space where you're like, you know what, I'm going to agree with God. We believe by faith. That means that believing is not something that we feel sometimes with certainty and confidence. It is a decision that we make from a space of faith. And so I agree with God concerning what's happening in my world. And I hope that you too come to a place where you are agreeing with God. Can I mind your business now? I would love to mind you. You've been in, Lord knows you've been in my business. The least you could do is let me mind yours. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. If you would like my perspective, my advice on something you're facing, send me an email to podcast@womanevolve.com. I would love to take a minute and just offer my perspective on what is happening in your world and see if the delegation has any other input as well. Here we go. My question for today says, hey, Sarah, so grateful for your ministry and your commitment to the call. Thank you. It's been my accountability partner, girl chats, and mental break from work. Speaking of work, I have a question. How does one know if God is calling them to be in and change an environment or not? I work in a mental health clinic, and as you can imagine, it is hard. Sometimes I want to quit and find a different job opportunity, as the job feels like a weight on my own mental and emotional health, but conflicted with the thought that I could be salt and light in the office to the patients and my coworkers. So, how can I know what the right thing to do is, looking out for myself or die to myself and serve? Phenomenal question, because the reality is that many of us are called into environments that are challenging with the intention, with God's intention of us serving that environment, His glory, His strength, His kingdom. I say, as long as you're there, that you have an opportunity to do that by simply being yourself. Changing an environment, I want to say this properly, changing an environment should not be so taxing that you feel stretched 24/7. Changing an environment should be the organic byproduct of you showing up authentically in that space. And if it is difficult for you to show up authentically in that space all of the time, not sometimes, right? Because there are going to be some moments where none of us do it with ease, but all of the time it's difficult for you to show up with authenticity so that God's light and power can flow through you, then it's going to be difficult. It is quite possible that God has you there for you to be a light for those who are in the room. And it is also quite possible that you are there to have provision. And while you are being provided for in that way, that you are preserving your light for the spaces that can accommodate your life. There's a passage in scripture where Jesus sends the disciples out to change environments, to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of heaven. But he tells them specifically, like, go into spaces where you are welcomed. And if you are not welcome, wipe the dust off of your feet and move to the next space. Because at the end of the day, you cannot force your light into a dark space. You can't force your anointing to fit in a jar that it wasn't meant to fill. But there are some spaces that are going to be hungry for what you carry, and you can flow effortlessly into those places. So with that in mind, I think that you should consider, like, is there a space where I can protect myself while showing up in this environment until God makes it evident what my next role is? Or can you ask yourself, am I just going through a tough season, but I know for sure that this is where I'm supposed to be? Only you and God can wrestle through the answer to that. But I will tell you, even right now, like I was telling y'all earlier, like I am absolutely exhausted, okay? Went to bed at 9 o'clock, woke up, almost missed my workout, like stress. It's 6:30 right now on Friday. I am recording this. I just left Target from getting my kids some toiletries and stuff. One of my kids is going out of town, a school trip for 10 days out of the country, mind you. I speak in Raleigh, North Carolina tomorrow. Take her to the airport on Sunday. I'm going to go from the airport to church, and then Monday flying to LA for any, like, terrible, right? I'm gonna be honest. When I was thinking like it's time for me to sit down and record this podcast, it didn't bring me joy. But then when I read your question, I'm like, I broke my microphone out immediately because it is stretching to do the things that we are called to do. It doesn't always come with ease. Ask Jesus, read the scriptures. It does not always come with ease. But when you are doing the thing you are called to do, God gives you a little bit more grace, a little bit more anointing to show up in that space. I can't answer whether or not it's the space for you, but I do think that looking for those signs are really important. And, you know, not everyone has the luxury of just quitting their job and waiting for the thing that they're called to do to show up in the earth. But I will say that if you are positioned to stay in that role, that you have to be just sensitive to checking in with yourself, having some self-care, taking care of yourself when you are out of that environment so that you have the strength that you need to be who you have to be when you go into that office space. What does restoration and refueling look like? And I think that's whether you're called to it or just surviving it. What does restoration look like until the next step is evident? I hope that helps you
evolve.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have tough conversations about work environments, what's beneficial to us and for us, and what's challenging, and is there any way around it? I was very intentional about saying that you may not have the luxury of being able to say, hey, this place isn't good for my mental health, so I gotta back off, because the reality is we have bills. And if you are a woman of color listening to this podcast, then you are probably well aware that statistically, when it comes to pay gaps, that we live in intersectionality, that you're already not necessarily getting paid in comparison to white male counterparts because of your womanhood, but you add in the added layer of being a black woman, a brown woman, a Latina woman, then that intersectionality becomes even more evident as it relates to the pursuit of wealth, financial stability, and financial planning. One of the things I am really passionate about is not just helping you evolve mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but how do I position women to evolve financially? I recognize that I cannot do any and all of things. And, you know, I can't even say a sentence, so you know I can't do all of the things. I am well aware that I am not a one-stop-all when it comes to resources. And so to be able to have conversations about wealth building, wealth generation, when we are in a culture where we aren't always raised to have conversations about money, credit score, financial planning, is one of the things that I've wanted to be really intentional about. I can tell you, I was not taught about credit scores, budgeting, any of those things. I was born a welfare baby. My parents worked so hard to get us out of that circumstance that they could not teach a class and take the class at the same time. And so I learned a lot of hard lessons about credit score, about repossessions, about disputing things on my credit score, about saving money, about not just what my mother used to say, don't buy what you want and beg for what you need, honey. I learned those lessons about how quick the electric company could come out and turn them lights back on. I learned a lot of lessons. I'm doing so much better now, but I'm still learning, and it's one of my favorite things to do when I can hear from people who have more information than I do. I am excited to introduce to you Victoria Washington. Her goal, her vision, her purpose is to help women prosper. She calls herself part wealth activator, part marketing wizard, part creative director. Victoria is at the helm of a financial revolution. She's the founder of the House of Wealth Embodiment, a global community and brand that has rapidly become the go-to space for entrepreneurs to develop their wealth identity, create a sustainable relationship with money, and build a financial masterpiece through their business mission. I cannot wait to dive into this conversation. Let me tell you something. She read me a little bit, and that's rude to come on somebody's podcast and just read them the way that they do, but you know what? Here I am laying myself open that the delegation may learn. You're going to want to take some notes, grab your pen and paper, or save this podcast. Listen to it now, but save it and come back to it. Share with some friends who are learning what it means to just be a good steward. April is Financial Literacy Month, and you are about to go to school. Okay, Victoria, we got to talk about these coins, honey. It is April. It is Financial Literacy Month, and sometimes the finances are very much so giving illiterate, but we are moving to a space where so many women that I know, whether they are climbing the corporate ladder or they are entrepreneurs or just making it from day to day, are really thinking more long-term. Like, I don't know how I can sustain a lifestyle, not just this lifestyle, but a lifestyle long term with the way that inflation is set up, with the way that savings is set up. Forget planning a vacation. What does retirement even look like? And so I'm so grateful for this opportunity to just unpack what stability and then even overflow looks like for those of us who are navigating this crazy up and down world. So can you tell me, When was the first time you recognized that the journey to stability and even wealth building was going to have to be done with intention? Was it something that was innate to you, or did you have this aha moment?
It was definitely not innate, and I don't think it is for a lot of women. I think that we have grown up in a society where either money is hidden and it's not talked about at all in households, or there's so much shame attached to it and projection attached to it that it just becomes this uncomfortable topic that's untouchable. I remember even in situations as a child, it was just a stressor. And so I grew up resisting money, rebelling against money, and preaching, I don't need money. I was that kid that was like, I'm going to be completely free of money. And I thought that that meant not being in a relationship with money at all. That was freedom. So I was very avoidant of it and very avoidant of my finances until I left my corporate career, started my own business. That's when I realized that money was a much bigger part of my life than I wanted to admit. And within less than a year, I ended up filing bankruptcy. And that was the biggest wake-up call of my life. I was just about to turn 30, and I remember sitting on the park bench outside. I lived in San Diego at the time, and I just was distraught with how I got here. And when I look at statistics, you know, one in every five Black women file bankruptcy. And it was almost this trajectory that I didn't even realize I was put in, and I didn't even realize was an option. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, how did this happen, and where do I go from here? And that's really when my relationship with God completely changed everything for me. And I realized that I have never spent an adequate amount of time understanding my value, understanding how to steward, understanding how to build a character of wealth, and how to be in relationship with money outside of shame, outside of societal conditioning. And it became this very clear moment of it is an act of rebellion to actually get in close proximity with money. It's an act of rebellion based off of how the system is set up for me to take full responsibility of my life. And it's not going to happen by accident. So that was a big wake-up call for me, and everything changed from that moment forward.
Okay, so you said that you were about to turn 30. You're sitting on this bench and you're like, how did I get here? And then you ended that story by also saying that it was an act of rebellion based off of how the system is set up for you to be in close proximity as it relates to your relationship with money. What is the system? How is it set up? And why are we so negatively impacted by it? And I would say blindly.
Yes. It's so, because again, at that point, I didn't even realize how much I was being affected by my avoidance with money and how much my life was really not shaped or even moving in a direction where I was going to be sustained. I was living in survival mode. I was living in an identity of damsel in distress. I was in a codependent relationship with other things in my life that had me using money as a method of safety, versus really stepping into the stewardship of money as a resource that I'm being called to circulate throughout the world for different things. And so the system is set up to make money more complicated. It's set up specifically for women. We've been told it's not for us. Like, we're not responsible enough, or we're, you know, even in the 70s, women were given the right to have a credit card but couldn't have a mortgage in their name. And that just goes to show that we've been set up to spend and to use money, but we haven't really been set up to learn how to steward it. So there was this big moment of realizing that that's not going to happen by accident. That's not going to just land in my lap. I'm going to have to really understand what is my personal relationship with money going to look like. And I made it bigger than me. I just remember needing to make it bigger than me. It needed to be for my legacy. It needed to be for, I just had this declaration on my heart that no other woman in my family was going to hold this grip with scarcity. And I recognized that in our family tree, and even just in our family units, we don't just pass down assets and cash. We pass down our thoughts and our behaviors around money. So there was a lot that I had to look at in the way that I was behaving with money that I didn't even realize I chose. But it was just by nature something that I started to mirror and bring to life. And then that turned into bankruptcy and so many other things. So the wake-up call was more centered around my role
in my life, and then also becoming the liberator of my relationship with money and not leaving it up to someone else or something else.
What does it look like to have a scarcity mindset when it comes to your relationship with money?
When you look up the dictionary definition of scarcity, all it really means is lack. And it's interesting because you could have a lack of doubt, and that's technically in that context not negative. But when it comes to money, I really see scarcity when I've worked with, at this point, over 8,000 women. When I really get into the roots of what it is that they're gripped with or what it is that they're battling, scarcity is connected to us believing that we are an accumulation of our negative thoughts in our past. So we show up in rooms and we hold the energy and the embodiment of, I don't have enough, or I'm not adequate. I don't belong here. I'm unlovable. And so I think if you were to approach your relationship with money in standard status quo, like let's go become more financially literate, which is so important, that will take you down a road of understanding financial terminology, getting your bank account set up, all of that. But I've realized after working with so many women that none of that matters until we can feel in here our God-given value and our God-given wealth identity. So the scarcity becomes more of a teacher of, where have I decided I'm not lovable? Where have I decided I don't belong and I'm not adequate for this role or for this leadership or for this amount of money? And when we let that build and build and build over years and years and years, it shows up on our face, it shows up in our hearts, it shows up in the way that we guard ourselves and the way that we push opportunities away or the way that we are frivolous with certain decisions in our life. So that's how it showed up for me personally and how I've watched it show up in my students and in my clients. It's really more in their behavior than just their thoughts and how they're thinking.
So does spending then become the way that we attempt to reclaim our worth and value, and ultimately those habits being unhealthy keep us from having the type of stability that we ultimately desire?
Yeah, spending, the way that I teach it and the way that I've received feedback through my students and my clients is, whenever we're spending money, we're actually spending parts of our worth, or we're spending parts of our time. And we've all grown up in a society that says money is more valuable than time. So a lot of people spend their time trying to make more money. When we flip it and we recognize that time is one of our most valuable currencies, or our creativity is one of our most valuable currencies, or our voice is one of our most valuable currencies, we recognize that every time we're spending, we're exchanging something. So I'm going to spend money on this thing, but I'm really spending my time. I'm spending my worth. I'm spending my creativity to get this thing. Then I get the thing. It doesn't fill what I thought I was going to fill. So I got to spend more. And so we end up spending money versus circulating it from a deeper understanding of our purpose or our call or wherever it is that God is asking us to move this resource out into the world. So I feel like for a lot of women, their relationship with money can be found in how they spend, where they spend, and how often they're spending.
Okay. So my husband always jokes that, you know, I may not spend a lot of money like buying things for myself, but I will spend a lot of things buying things for the house, like, you know, sometimes things for the kids, but, you know, something for the house, like something I would never spend, a certain amount of money that I'd never spend on myself, I will like drop on something on the house, like, and not even blink twice about it. What does that tell you about my relationship with money?
Okay, so I love how you're being so transparent, because I have the same thing. So I have these I have a quiz that I've created that gives you three different archetypes. They work with the attachment style theory in relationship.
Okay, yeah.
And so the spender is typically connected to the attachment style of the anxious attached, where they are constantly feeling like they need to keep spending because they don't feel safe having money. As much as money equals safety for some people, actually subconsciously they feel like it's not safe to have money. So money's not safe with me. I'm irresponsible. When you share that with me, I feel a little bit of the hoarder, which is somebody who they're not frivolous with their money at all. They are going to be somebody that definitely would rather have stacked cash than be spending it all around. They tend to keep a lot in the bank account. They like to see that there's a lot there. Like, they feel very connected to money being in the bank account. Whereas a spender feels like, I just want to spend it. Who cares? Like, I'm just going to do my thing. So with a hoarder, they don't find value in circulating money for themselves. They value their environments and the people around them. So the path of least resistance for them to circulate money is through other people, through situations, experiences, and home, which is the most important thing to a hoarder. So that makes sense for what you're saying, that it feels really stable and even exciting and pleasurable for me to circulate money in this way. If I were to just take myself to the spa, buy myself a new outfit, that feels empty. But a spender would love that. A hoarder's like, that does nothing for me. So on the other side of the hoarder is the financial stabilizer. And to me, the hoarders are so special because they have a very stabilizing energy. They're very steady human beings. They don't have a lot of up and down with money once they're fully in their power around their relationship with money. So there's obviously these different things to look at that you could work on, but there's also so much beauty and so much grace in the stabilizing energy that you have with money. If that makes sense. I threw a lot of terminology, but that's what I'm seeing when you share that with me.
Okay, so like, what's wrong with that? Because when I hear hoarder, it doesn't sound like a compliment, but literally everything you just said sounded like a compliment to me, which, by the way, is part of the reason when I took the Enneagram test, which I didn't know at the time that there was controversy behind it, but they were taught, I was an achiever, a type three. Yeah. And everything they told me about myself, I was like, this sounds like an amazing individual.
I'm going to go be about my business.
So I really, truly don't think there's anything wrong with spending or wrong with hoarding. These are just terminologies to help people understand how they're in relationship with money. Because as much as you're willing, let's say, to spend on the house or to fill your home or even your children or the people around you with prosperity, you're really no exchange in that way. There's still what I would have you look at is the area in which you might be holding a sensation of fear around not having that ability and not being able to fully feel your money. Like, hoarders know how to move money, but they don't always feel prosperous in the process. So there's, I think, a difference of anybody can make money, anybody can spend money, but not everybody feels prosperous as they do it. And sometimes what I've seen with the hoarder is that they're so focused on other people that they don't feel for themselves how that's really circulating through them, how that's really, they don't fully experience it. They watch other people experience it, but how much are they personally experiencing it?
Okay, well, you didn't have to be rude. I brought you onto my podcast.
I was like, okay, there's a little crack I'm seeing. I'm going to go in there.
That's fine. No, I first of all, I think it's important that people be willing to see themselves. And I know that, you know, transparency and vulnerability leads the way. So we've got the spender, we've got the hoarder. What's the other archetype?
The other one is the avoider, which is somebody who... The avoider is like being in relationship with somebody who's like, I want a partner. But then they get in the partnership and they don't text back. They get in the partnership and they're like, this is a little too close. They feel like money and the responsibility of money is encroaching on their freedom. So they're constantly in this push-pull in their relationship with money. Like, I want it, but I don't want the responsibility that comes with it. I want it, but I don't want the intimacy or the exposure that comes with it. So they tend to avoid their finances by not checking their bank account, by not answering people back, by not making decisions, by not looking at the ways in which their money is being moved throughout the world. On the other side of the avoider, once they move through that, they learn through that, is the financial catalyst. And they are the type that actually change the world with money. They actually do really catalyzing things with money because they're no longer afraid of being seen. They're no longer afraid of being in relationship with other people. And one of the breakthroughs for the avoider is, my money is only as prosperous as my relationships. So if I have no relationships and no intimacy, no matter how much money is coming and going, I'm not going to actually be rich. I'm not actually going to feel in my purpose with money. I'm not going to feel like I'm actually doing anything. So there's a lot of breakthrough for the avoider in intimacy and relationship. And then how that then translates into their relationship with money is they change the world. They do really big things with it.
Okay, I already know that that's going to blow someone's mind. You are the founder of the House of Wealth Embodiment. Are these the types of conversations that you're having there?
Yes, yes. Okay. And I love breaking it down in this way, because in this way, nobody has to hold shame. There's no shame. There's no, you're right, you're wrong. We've all inherited different flaws, different things that God has called us to move through and work with. And on the other end of those things is our power, is our stewardship. And I don't think that I'd be who I am today or who I am with money if I didn't file bankruptcy, if I didn't come face to face with the spender in me that was trying so bad to find my value on shelves, in things and in other experiences that weren't actually fulfilling my purpose. So I love having these conversations because it opens the floor for vulnerability, for truth, and for everybody to really be seen without the shame and the projection that they typically are in when it comes to money.
Okay, so let's say someone's listening to this, and of course they're going to look you up. They're going to find the House of Wealth Embodiment, but they're also wondering, okay, maybe I actually do need to start planning for a future, but right now I'm living paycheck to paycheck. How do we bridge that gap between I want to have a savings, I want to take trips, I want to pay some debt off, but I literally have no extra? What do we do in these scenarios?
So that means that we're living in survival mode. That's exactly where I spent most of my 20s and even some of my early 30s was in the survival mode of just living either client to client or paycheck to paycheck. And I didn't even have a breath to consider what my relationship with money could look like outside of that. But there comes this point where we have to definitely acknowledge that, feel that that is so real. And what I recognized when I went into that is I don't have resistance with money. I don't have a problem making money. I have resistance to responsibility. And for a lot of women, I grew up personally being responsible for way more than I was ready for way too soon. Wow. And so my relationship with responsibility was like, I don't want that. I just want to survive. I just want to get by. And I didn't realize that that narrative was running how much I was really valuing myself and what rooms I was putting myself in, how I was using my skills, how I was leveraging the gifts that God gave me. And I remember one time in my kitchen, God stopped me and I heard so clearly, he said, "Where are you at with receiving my gifts for you?" But I kept focusing on money. Like, God, I've been praying for money. Like, I want the gift of right there, cash. And I just kept hearing him say, "Well, where are you at with receiving my gifts for you? The gifts that I gave you to circulate, which bring money into form. Your voice, the different characteristics that I bestowed within you." I was so focused on making money that I was not focusing on tending to my body, the vessel and the gift that God gave me to actually go out in the world and do something that was gonna be beyond the survival mode. So I recognize for a lot of women, myself included, is that our financial intelligence is directly linked to our body intelligence. If we're in survival mode, we can't make decisions that are gonna be fruitful. We can't think beyond that paycheck. So I had to, as hard as it was, put that down for a second and really go into my body and say, what do you need right now so that you can get into a stabilized state to be able to think clearly and use the gifts that God gave you and leverage them in the world? So that's a lot of work that I do with women, as well as connecting them back with their body in relationship with God so they can start honoring their nervous system and the parts of them that want to fight, that want to flight, like all that shows up in our relationship with money. And we don't realize that that keeps us in this constricted state of not being able to expand into the responsibility of stewardship. And when we do that, we stop looking at responsibility as a burden. We look at it as an honor, as a call. And that gave me the tenacity and the fortitude to get up and do something different and change the way that I was in relationship with my finances.
When did you start calling yourself a wealth activator?
That still feels strange to call myself, to be honest, but we got to put titles on stuff. When I speak and when I've worked with women, that was what they said. It activated something in them. They felt something inside of them turn on that wasn't on before. And that's always my prayer, is that God reaches into the hearts of women and activates the identity that he's placed in them. Because when that's activated, they can start to see that wealth is not just money, it's an accumulation of value. And if I identify as a valuable human being, I'm gonna live my life different. I'm gonna walk into my boss's office differently. I'm gonna break down every door they said was closed. So I have an activating nature. I get very passionate and excited, and that's my wish every time somebody hears me speak, is that they feel activated by God's gifts and that they can feel that inside of them.
So for the women who are like, okay, maybe I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, I finally have a little cushion and I'm ready to start thinking about what wealth looks like for me, what do you think are like the first couple of steps they should take in really beginning to take this extra that they have and throwing it into something that will multiply?
I love this question, because that, I always tell my students and my clients, if you wanna do this work, make some money, because that's really when the journey begins. I thought healing my scarcity, going through all that, was hard work. When you start making money, then it's like, oh, now what? Now that it's here, what do I do with it? And it can be threatening almost, because if you're used to living in a certain amount or you're used to circulating a certain amount, it can be very confronting to then have the sensation of $10,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars, the responsibility that that comes with. So number one is, I always have them start to take on the mindset of an entrepreneur, understanding that within each of our own bodies, we have our own economy. So what is your economy? What do you want your economy to feel like? What do you want your economy to look like? What is your financial vision? Because if you don't have one, the world will give you one, or someone else will give you one. So I think it's so important to sit and say, like, okay, this money isn't going anywhere. Any fear that's coming in, that's telling me that this is going to get stolen, this is going to be the last time I got lucky, like, all those thoughts will pop into your head when you start to circulate more money. We have to pause and ask, okay, what's my vision? God, I want to have an encounter with where you desire me to steward this. And then we can start to see what chapter we're in. I think for some people, especially for millennials, there's an assumption that we should jump it straight into retirement, move it to the savings account, which I think is so important. That makes sense. But what about travel? What if you're in a chapter of lifestyle where you want to travel the world and you finally have the funds to do it? What if you're in a chapter of motherhood and you're wanting to have overflow so you can step away from your business, or you can step away from your job and feel fully secure? I think it's important to really get clear on what chapter you're in and not feel like you have to put the money somewhere because that's what someone told you. When I first started circulating more money, I spent a couple years traveling and just enjoying the fact that I could say yes without asking money for permission. And I think that that matters, and that's an important phase for each woman to go through. And then I recommend having a high yield savings account, because that's the easiest way for you to start to understand how money multiplies without you always doing something with it. And it's a perfect way to house your money while it's still moving, while it's still circulating, while it's still multiplying. If you're an entrepreneur, the next step I have you take is having a separate business account and a separate personal account, so that you can start to feel the difference between, I'm making all this money, to my business is starting to make money and it pays me. That's going to be a big move for a woman who's then going to be responsible for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So those are some small things that I recommend women do. It doesn't have to be complicated. That even doing that in 1 year for some people is such a big move. I remember when I was opening up my accounts for the first time, my heart was racing. I'm like, I don't want to press the wrong button and then the number changes. Like, what's happening right now? So I think it's taking the more simple step is often the most sophisticated step. Jumping straight into stock market, all this stuff, that's good and we will get there. But these small steps of just having a vision, having some savings, knowing why you're in relationship with money is going to lead you in such a fruitful direction, and you'll feel grounded along the way.
You know, we've seen a lot of emails and headlines lately about data breaches and identity theft. You know, I even get the email sometimes, but like nothing changes on my bank account. It doesn't look like I, even though it says you could have been a victim, I wasn't a victim. How seriously do you think we need to be taking the reality of our financial data and credit cards being easily hacked online, and what precautions should we be taking?
I think the natural precautions are make sure your passwords are in check and make sure that you are changing those on a regular basis so that at least there's always a block between that and somebody potentially, you know, taking your identity. But I feel like there's a lot of fear-based projection in that. And if you're truly in relationship with money and you're no longer avoiding your finances and you are intimately looking at your bank accounts regularly, you're very much so regularly connecting with your accountant, you have a bookkeeper. I think having those things on in your world and on your team are so helpful. And I feel like we have to really listen into our intuition. And for me, like anytime I see those emails, I can feel right away. You could just feel in the way that they're phrased. And that's why I mean, when we're in survival, we can't feel that. So that's why I'm so adamant about get grounded, get connected, stay rooted so that you can listen for what is a red flag and what's not. That is part of our financial intelligence. So outside of the, you know, changing your passwords, making sure that you're looking at your bank accounts regularly, I also think it's trusting yourself and trusting that if something feels off, it probably is. And hopefully you have somebody on your team or somebody that you can, you know, fact check it with. And don't do anything if it feels off. Like nothing is an emergency like that. Like even if something was happening, it wouldn't be communicated to you that way. I've had fraud happen with me before, and my bank personally calls me. I know my bankers. Like that's what I mean by being intimate in our financial exchanges. Know your bankers, ask for people's names, because the more that you have that intimacy, the more you'll be like, I've never spoken to this person before. They've never called me in this way. I've never gotten notifications like that. And we'll be able to tell what is a scam and what is actually for us.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you still feel that home ownership is a vehicle for generational wealth building?
I think it's one, but I don't think it's the only one, and I don't think it's the most powerful one.
What's the most powerful one?
I think that it really depends on, again, you knowing what chapter you're in. Okay. I think we've all grown up on some level. The goal is like to get a house.
For
I remember
sure.
even for me.
And a four-year degree and a house.
You're basically winning at life. But I feel like it's changed so much. I think our generation is changing. Currency is changing. Entrepreneurship is changing. I'm so grateful that I spent and circulated most of the first bit of cash that I had back into my business, which now has turned into this whole movement that if I was like, I got to get a house. I don't know that I would have made the decisions that I made. If that's in your financial vision and that is something that feels true for you and it's on your heart and God has called you to do that, absolutely. It's an amazing way to circulate your money. But I also feel that commercial investments are an amazing way. Getting creative in your business and reinvesting in your business is an amazing way. I look at, for me, my greatest currency is not cash and it's not a house. My greatest currency is my voice and my ideas. So I'm constantly looking at where can I invest in things that are going to foster more strength in those areas, because I know with a voice and an idea, I can do anything. I can turn money into form. So that's why I really encourage everyone to get clear on what is your true vision? Otherwise, someone else will give it to you. And most of the time, they're going to give you the vision of go buy a house, go get a degree. But that's not the path for everybody. And I think that that's going to liberate some people who are like, I want to go invest in travel. Or there's this new idea, this new business that I want to put some money in. I think those are really fruitful ways as well.
I love that.
And I'm
that
not a financial advisor, so legally, I just got to say. I'm not a financial advisor. This is just what I've seen and what I have I've seen work for other people and myself.
I love that you said that, though, because part of this concept in this book that I have coming out, Power Moves, is all about the reality that the power of ideas are often moving. What once worked for one generation may not be cookie cutter for the next generation, and giving ourselves permission to explore what power looks like now is one of the greatest mm-hmm. assets that we can give one another. I feel like it's the same thing, even as we talk about worth and how not necessarily our financial worth, but our worth as individuals and our souls. if we do not do the work of reclaiming our worth from the things that have tried to strip us from, you know, who God says we are, who we have the potential to become, then we will live less than God's version of who we are. We may not be able to access some of the promises and realities connected with that vision. And so I want to ask you in closing, if someone is listening to this interview right now and they know they struggle with their value, they know they struggle with their worth, they just have so many insecurities, they have so many flaws, they've made so many mistakes, what would you say is like the number one step to take in reclaiming your worth?
Remember that that setback is God set up for His glory. And oftentimes, the thing that we think is the greatest burden or the greatest thing that is blocking us from our worth is the necessary ingredient that God is using to fortify our worth and fortify just how called we are. I see that God has trusted me with this business, this voice, this mission, but God also trusted me with bankruptcy because He knew what I would do with it and who I would turn to in it. So that weight that you're feeling is not the weight of the world, it's the weight of your worth. And that worth has, it has gravity, it has a call, it has purpose. And sometimes I think we forget that that heaviness isn't something we weren't designed to carry. So it's like stand in it, stand on it, stand with it, and trust that there is so much glory that's being set up in that process. And at the end of the day, you're going to look back and say, wow, I'm not just standing in this. I don't just believe this. Like, it is deeply within me because I took that journey, because I chose the weight of my worth over holding the weight of the world.
Wow. Well, Victoria, thank you. I know so many of us are going to be a fan after this. So I appreciate the way that you poured out and put me on blast a little bit for the sake of the sisterhood.
You would ask. I was like, please don't.
I did. Here I am.
Driving around.
I love it, though. Thank you so much for what you are contributing to the sisterhood, to womanhood. You're necessary, and I can't wait to see what all we can do together.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful I got to pour into y'all, and I hope you received everything that you came here, and I hope that this woke something up within you, and I just feel really blessed that you trusted me to have this conversation with you.
Are y'all still stuck on how she read me? Because I'm still stuck on how that queen read me. But let me tell you, one thing is for sure, you all need to get plugged into the work that she's doing. I love that she's not just coming at it from a this is what you need to do perspective, but this is why you do what you do, and this is what you need to know in order to change. I hope that you all plug into her resources. It will tremendously bless you. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your week. Some of y'all not listening to this on Wednesday, but whenever you are listening to it, just know that I count it amongst my greatest privileges and honor to be a part of what God is doing in your life. I want to take a minute and pray with you before I go, especially as it relates to the area of finances. Thank you, God, for laying on our heart this desire to break a generational curse off of our family and to introduce generational blessings and generational wealth, God. First of all, we have to say this. We know that you desire more than anything for our souls to prosper. And so, God, I pray that you would bring us to a space where we are prospering and wealthy on a soul level, that we are rooted in the knowledge of your love, and from that place that we touch and do everything thing with a reflection of your love connected to it. God, I pray for those who are connected to this podcast. As it is Financial Literacy Awareness Month, God, it is my prayer that you would make them more literate in the areas where they have no example, that you would make them more literate in the areas that their goals and dreams and businesses are connected to. God, give them structure, give them insight, give them strategy, give them wisdom on how to break the curse off of their lives. lives and to move into a space of blessing and fulfillment. And God, I pray that as you do that, that you will position them to be givers and teachers for those who are connected to them. I thank you that when one of us comes up, we all come up. Thank you for the gift of Victoria Washington. May she continue to be rooted in her identity in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. You know what I've realized? I will just be praying and praying. When we are doing school runs in the morning, the girls be like, that's enough praying. All right. So listen, I love you. I will catch up with you next week. My book is almost out. Y'all pray for the kid. All right. Take care.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos, and hello to this revolutionary, stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.